inspired by the Charles Dickens character Miss Havisham, writer and performer Irene Kelleher premieres her one-woman play, Gone Full Miss Havisham, as part of the Cork Midsummer Festival on June the 17th. This is a modern-day take on the renowned Dickens character. Instead of being hidden from the outside world, the Emily in question here is a social media sensation, and Irene Kelleher joins us now from our Cork studio. Were you always a big fan of Great Expectations in general, and Miss Havisham in particular, Irene? Or what sent you off to go the full Miss Havisham as you've done in this play?
I was definitely always a fan of Dickens, and Great Expectations would be my favourite book, but I was very infatuated with the character of Miss Havisham because when I was very small, I think only about 5 or 6, my gran used to always have the Sunday movie on. It was always an old black and white movie on in her house every Sunday afternoon. And I remember watching the very old black and white version of Miss Havisham of Great Expectations, and I was just terrified and also just amazed by the character Miss Havisham, so she always kind of stayed with me. And then what spurred on this idea was I was on a long bus journey early last year, and I came across this viral video of a bride recently, and I think it was an American video, and she was absolutely having a breakdown at the altar of her wedding day. She was smashing the candles, pulling out the flowers, she was really crying and screaming, but it had become this comic video. They'd put music over it, and I just read all the comments, and they were so vicious and so just making fun of her and saying, oh, obviously she found out her fiancé cheated on her, and just made a joke of it.
And did you, I mean, was it clear from the video what had actually happened?
Not at all. Like, all it was just a minute, and it was a bride absolutely, you know, having a breakdown. Yeah. And the comments were so vicious, and I just thought, wow, it really showed how one person's mental trauma can just be turned into entertainment for the masses, and everyone's speculating. But what everyone said was, oh, it must have been because her fiancé cheated on her or something, and somebody put up the comment, it's like a modern day Miss Havisham, and it just stayed with me. And I was finished writing another play, and I was doing redrafts of that. I had no intention of writing a play about her, but the video,
she wouldn't
just
let you go.
She would not let me go, and I kept thinking about it. So I went back and I reread Great Expectations, and I started imagining, what if the character was here now in 2019?
Yeah, Miss Havisham is there famously with the wedding dress that she never got to wear because you know, she was left at the altar, so to speak. So did you look further into what Dickens tells us? Did you really look for every line within Great Expectations that told you more about Miss Havisham, or did you start inventing your own Emily, who's the character who's at the heart of Gone Full Miss Havisham? Did you start inventing her pretty quickly?
I started looking first at what Dickens said, and I was really surprised when I reread it, because I thought she would have been almost on every page, but she's actually not in it that much. But he says very little, but he gives a lot of hints about her background and her relationship with her father and her brother, who kind of betrayed her, and very little is said, but it's said for a reason. And I think that, you know, when she finds out that her fiancé was a con man, essentially, and jilts her, I think that's the last straw. I think she's been repressing feelings for a long time, and it's sort of the final person to betray her, and that's what snaps. It's not that. That's not the sole reason of her breakdown. And
it's like the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Exactly. It's that she can't take anymore. It's like the dam finally bursts.
Yeah, because to be fair, Emily has a lot of... Because I don't want to give too much away on any of this, and you'll know what you want to say and what you don't want to say about what happens to her. But she has a lot of difficulties to deal with throughout her life.
She does. And she's a very strong-willed character. And the kind of tragedy of it, really, is that... a lot of people, they do it out of love. So she's got a really close relationship with her father. And in order to protect her, and the mother, you know, gets sick while Emily's quite young, he wants to protect her. So he really insists on the importance of education, and you need to be strong, and you don't rely on anyone. You're going to be your own woman. But what happens is she starts to repress feelings and holds everything in. And the only other person, and her life is books. She just immerses herself in books, and she has one friend that she's really close to, and that friend kind of leaves her at some point as well. So when she meets the fiancé, when she meets Jack, she's at quite a vulnerable point in her life. And that's kind of what
she needs to meet somebody who's not going to exploit that vulnerability. Let's not go any further as to what happens subsequent to the meeting of Jack. But maybe you'd read a little section from the play for me, and this refers to one of her friends, Elise, and this goes back quite a bit, I suppose, to reasonably, at what age would they have been here? Are they kind of teens at this point in the play?
No, she's only nine.
No, they're younger than teens.
In primary school, yeah.
And even at that stage, the two of them together were difficult to deal with. And we'll get a sense of one of the major events in Emily's life as you read this section for us.
No one anticipated the force of nature of Emily and Elise combined. The girls hate us because we're not into their games, and the boys hate us because sometimes we beat them up. Mam's horrified when the school called saying I pummeled Killian Desmond to the ground. But Mam, Killian said Dad is so old he had to sit next to St. Patrick in third class. Emily, love, being brave doesn't mean fighting all the time. Sometimes we need a good cry and move on. But I've no time for tears. I'm strong. I'm so strong I don't notice Mam getting weaker and weaker. Come over here to me. Now, you know that Mam's been to the doctor a lot lately. Cancer. Pancreatic. And he goes into great description of the disease, tells me all the facts. Now, Emily, don't cry. I didn't raise a little weeping willow of a girl, did I? Hey, when I first saw you as a baby, I looked into the cot and you'd your two fists up in a ball above your head. And you know what I said to myself? I raised a warrior. Now, Mammy needs us to be strong. And I need you to be strong. Give me your hand. Here. Palm to palm. The Halloran strength. From the big to the small. No more crying now. My warrior. What are you? One tough little nut. What are you? One tough little nut. And that was that. All tears shed by the age of nine.
There you go. Yeah, the last line gave me the age, didn't it? The age of nine there. That's Irene Kelleher there performing from her one-woman show, Gone Full, Miss Havisham. There's a lovely relationship between the father and the daughter there. And, you know, he has his sayings, I raised a warrior. At another point, he talks when he's explaining things, he explains them very factually. He doesn't believe in baby talk.
No.
No matter what age the child is, you speak to them as if they were a university graduate, as a friend of mine's father used to say. Doesn't matter what age they are.
And that comes from my own father was very much like that, like no baby talk. So I could ask him anything at any age and he'd give me a straight answer. And my favourite time to talk with him, when he was shaving, I used to sit on the bathtub and I'd just ask him everything and he would tell me factually everything. So, you know, I kind of drew from real life in that way.
And unfortunately, you lost your own father quite recently. Go ahead.
I did. I was actually, I was on tour with my first play, Mary and Me, and I was in Edinburgh and Dad was diagnosed with cancer actually 7 weeks before my wedding. But he had been doing really well. And he, you know, was actually there a year and a half, which was amazing because I thought initially it would only be six months. So I obviously wouldn't have gone away if I had thought it would be that sudden. But in the end, it was quite sudden. And
did he get to see that first play?
He never got to see it.
That's
no,
a shame.
No.
That's a shame. Well, he's all over this second play. This maybe more than your second play.
It's interesting because, see, some things are drawn, like the loving relationship. But I could always go to my dad and have a good cry on his shoulder. But Emily's father, he kind of has no time for tears. So there's different things. So the play's gone through, I think it's about 15 or 16 different drafts. And each time I'm kind of separating my own life from Emily, and I think it's a lot stronger because of it.
Yeah, it's not just about a confessional thing,
exactly,
it's about creating a character.
Yeah.
Just one final thing I wanted to speak about, because you started with this idea that it was actually watching this video that had gone viral, which could have been a terrible misfortune for the woman in question, but was a great source of comedy to everybody else. Maybe just explain how, because I said that contrary to Miss Havisham's situation, your character Emily is a queen of social media, or certainly at a certain point in the play she becomes a queen of social media. Explain to me how that works its way into the play.
Well, I'm not spoiling anything when I say this, because it happens at the start of the play. When the play opens, Emily has been locked into the penthouse suite for 5 months, and she's been there since the morning of her wedding didn't happen, and she never was online before in her life, but she's decided she's going to tell her story, and she's almost like an anti-social influencer in a way, because she just tells it like it is. She never washes, she never changes, but then people are fascinated by just watching her having this breakdown and living there and not coming out. And it's really interesting, because that whole part of it took on a life in itself, because the audiences were really interested in seeing the different moments when she's on and when she's off.
Yeah,
because there are moments when she's off.
Yeah, if you're in the audience, you'll see her putting on the face to do her social media, and then you'll see her after that as well, when maybe the face is gone.
And it's because the premiere obviously is in the midsummer, and it's on in a penthouse suite, which is so exciting. Because I'll be transferring it to the Edinburgh Fringe, and obviously we'll be doing it again in normal theatre venues, but I'm so excited to have the premiere in the penthouse suite.
Suitably enough, you won't be locked into it for 5 weeks or 6 weeks afterwards, I hope.
Maybe not.
Months in Emily's case. That's Irene Kelleher there speaking to me about her play Gone Full Miss Havisham, one woman show, obviously written and performed by herself. It premieres in the penthouse suite of the Clayton Hotel in Cork City on Laps Quay June the 17th as part of the Cork Midsummer Festival. It is sold out, but hopefully it will come back to theatres, as Irene was telling us. CorkMidsummer.com for full details.